CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the good stuff. Cliff Central's very own happy hour with myself, Brendan Dequeue, the good news guy. Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, and you know, you're in studio with only good things. It's a show dedicated to good news and inspirational stories from South Africa and the world. If you're tuning in live on cliffcentral.com, you'll get the full show. But if you are backstage on Facebook Live, all you need to do is go to www.cliffcentral.com to get the full show. So, at the beginning of every show, I bring you all of the relevant news that mainstream media are busy sort of sharing and reporting on. It usually consists of corruption, crime, bad leadership, more corruption, more crime, more bad leadership, our president, more corruption, and so on and so forth. But that's kind of all sorts of cuck and not stuff that we want to concentrate on. It's not stuff that we're going to be bringing you. It's not stuff that we're going to be talking about. You can get all of that stuff from mainstream media. They have it. Go and get it from there. We're going to be bringing you good news and inspirational stories. And this week, no different. There are animal hospitals that are serving informal communities for free, like 12,000 dogs or something crazy. We're going to bring you news on that. Mannequin challenges, you know the mannequin challenges that are going viral around the world. Well, South Africa has taken it by storm with not one but two amazing challenges. One was at Camps Bay. We're going to bring you news on that. And the other was actually a corporate, which is flippin' cool. Our dam levels in South Africa, or more so Johannesburg, are rising. So we're going to bring you news on that. And we have flippin' inspiring South Africans that we're going to be talking to. So inspired, so incredibly proudly South African. I'm excited to be on the show today. So every week, Kerry and I, that's the good news girl over there, I'm going to switch your microphone on.
Yes, hello. Let's try again. Good morning.
Good morning, Kerry. How are you doing?
Good, and you?
Lekker, lekker. We're going to be getting into a whole bunch of stuff today. Our normal is our catch-up. So we do our normal catch-up where we speak about good things. Then we bring you the top five trending good news stories for you to hear about. Hey, Kerry.
Yes, definitely.
Here are you ready with
that? Yes, I am.
Her iPad's given her a little stick.
No, you know what? I don't have anything to open my SIM card goodie. That's what. It's not broken. So I'm not having too much of a tech failure today.
Okay. So we'll be getting to the top five good news stories in a bit. And then also a little bit later, we're going to be chatting to Rusty Labuskagni. He is an incredible South African who was wrongfully jailed for 10 years in Zimbabwe in one of the prisons, which is absolutely crazy. He lived there for 10 years. He's out. He's doing inspirational stuff, and he's here to tell us all about it. Very exciting. If you want to get involved with the conversation, you can join us, www.cliffcentral.com, or you can tweet us, Brent Lindekue, Kerry Stain, cliffcentral.com, or give us a call on 0861-555-189. That's our Facebook live feed, over and out. Join us online, yo. Kerry, catch up. What's up, yo? I just got back from London.
Yes, tell me about it.
I just, you know.
It was just an over-the-sea flit, hey, for the weekend.
Just for the weekend, yes. We decided to go overseas. Man, oh man alive, I am flippin' blessed.
Those pictures, I was following you, obviously.
I have to say a massive shout out to Virgin Atlantic for flying me there.
How was the flight and
upper
the plane?
Upper class. But yes. let me just thank everybody. So we got Virgin Atlantic that we need to thank. Mm-hmm. Thompson's Tours, which is Thompson Holidays. And then also Tourvest, who sent me over for a weekend in London with a bunch of phenomenally amazing people. I had the best time. No one
from
knew each
other.
From
all over the world or from here?
No, they were all from South Africa.
Yes.
I'm busy getting attached to all the wires.
You're tangling up.
All from South Africa. And they were all part of either Virgin Atlantic or the Tourvest group. Mm. And I got to fly upper class, which is something I think everybody needs to aim to do.
Well, I just saw in your pictures your legs stretched out like you were lying on your bed.
You know what I've realized taking these flights is that we've got it all wrong. As travelers, we've got it all wrong. We look at traveling or flying as the transport medium to get you from A to B. When it's not.
No comfort.
It can actually be a hotel experience. So if you think about it that way,
a hotel in the sky,
it changes your perspective, right? It's from the time that you check in You get this whole different world. You go through the check-in. It's a separate check-in counter. Like, it's
quick,
all different.
Quick, okay?
It's very quick. Then you get to go to a lounge with jacuzzis and hairdressers and spa baths and big screen TVs and the most amazing food and champagne.
Goodness gracious.
Real champagne. Not even like the sparkling wine. Then you get to be on a plane where it's got like this bar on the plane, so you can chill a little bit by the bar and chat. Then you get to sleep in
a bed. Sounds like
a
rock star.
But it's not. It's not. You need to understand. This is why I'm saying we think of traveling in the wrong way.
Mm.
Traveling is not about getting to A to B. It is, but it isn't. If you think about the way you do it as a hotel, then it justifies everything.
Hmm.
I will never, ever fly the same again.
Well,
never.
I've never been overseas, so I was just reveling in your experience. But I can completely understand. And that, for me, I think flying to Cape Town or flying to Durban is completely different because, I mean, it's 2 and 1 hour flight. I cannot imagine myself being on a flight for that long.
Well, now you can. It's amazing. And London, this time of year, good Lord, I feel Christmas.
And now, because you saw all the Christmas markets and stuff overseas as well.
It was the Christmas markets. It was the Christmas lights. It was the shop windows. It was the music. It was the people. It was the restaurants. It was the shows. So South Africa, we don't get as in the Christmas spirit as what London does. And
it's very traditional over there.
I can't speak for other countries or cities or other places, but for me, London at this time of year is just epic.
I know. And so many people have said that if you've got a bucket list, that really needs to be on it for December to experience the Christmas markets and the Christmas feeling and the Christmas everything.
It's amazing. I'm going to be writing a blog on goodthingsguide.com so that you guys can check it out and follow all the details and the crazy weekend and everything else in between. It was amazing. That'll be sort of coming out on Thursday. Very exciting. One of the other things that I wanted to catch up and touch on about, I changed my insurance companies.
Yes.
And my new insurance company has, they've stuck this thing on my window. It's Discovery Insurance.
Yes.
So they've stuck this little...
I saw you were looking for a new one.
I was, right? And I put it on my Facebook that I was, and all sorts of people were giving me different suggestions. But I went with them because of the benefits, right? Mm. So I'm already part of the whole network. Just to add more onto my sort of portfolio makes sense.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Kay. They put this little chip on your windscreen, and on that chip, it then measures your G's, so your G-force when you pull away or when you brake or when you take corners. Mm-hmm. It connects to your phone, and then from your phone, it measures your GPS, so like your speed, basically. And then also
technology to the max.
It measures if you pick up your phone while you're driving.
What?
And it's almost like playing a game. Because now
you are
I'm driving more cautiously. I'm sticking to the speed limits. I'm not touching my phone. If you do all of these great things I'm getting all lost in conversation here. If you do all of these things, your premiums come down, so you pay less, and they give you cash back, and you're like the best driver or whatever. So I'm almost of the belief, and I don't know how long this will last. I've only had it for a week.
Okay.
It might, I mean.
The novelty might wear off.
Maybe, but maybe it doesn't. And maybe it makes me a better person. Mm. I haven't touched my phone while driving in a week.
Good job.
You know what I'm saying?
Because that is one of the biggest
if every single person or every single insurance company had to implement this, it would change our roads completely.
Mm.
I think it's brilliant.
So what if you're sitting in traffic?
What do you mean?
Does it also pick up that you picked up your cell phone?
Yes.
Because a lot of people sit on their phones in the traffic.
You do not touch your phone while driving.
Yes.
Full stop.
Okay.
Otherwise, you lose points and then your premiums go up and you don't get cash back when you put your petrol in.
Sure.
So it's just keeping to the speed limit, not touching your phone. It's all of these great things that just puts you in order. I am flipping. I'm an advocate for them. I'm so impressed. So impressed.
Wow.
A couple of other things. So this morning, I woke up and my website was down.
I saw. I was like, oh my word, how are we going to do this now? Because I saw the message about 45 minutes after you put it up. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my word. All of our stories are on there. And I'm like, oh. But I'm glad it's up and going now. So does that mean you hit a million? Over a million.
Over a million users.
That is fantastic.
It's a million
readers,
views. A million views in 1 month.
Sure.
Hey.
Well done.
Well
done. And well done to everybody else that's just absorbing all the good news.
I think that's more so.
Yes.
I just need to shout out a big thank you to the listeners of our show, the readers of the site, the people that really engage in good news. It can change, and I sound like a Miss Universe. It can change the world.
Yes.
It can change the world. When you change your perspective, when you start looking at things in a different light, you know what? You've got the upper hand on everybody else.
Exactly. And you know what? You're reading good stories, but you as a person individually can also contribute to doing good. And reading the stories, supporting the people that do good, you are a contributor.
100%.
Good.
So after this morning's little thing with websites and blah, 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 blah,
yes,
we're going to be opening up a whole new content section for people to send in their stories. They'll be able to update them like themselves.
That's fantastic.
So less
like
work,
a portal.
Correct. Less work for me. You can literally come and blog on Good Things Guy, which is I want the community
to
be
involved.
So
you're creating a platform for other people to get involved. That's amazing.
It's,
well done.
It's so important. It's so important.
I love that.
Cool, man. I'm excited.
And the people will get to know each other.
Exactly.
Yes, a little community.
So here's a prime example. Yesterday, yes, I got sent that mannequin challenge, the Camps Bay one. Did you see it?
I did see that.
Over 200 people.
On the beach.
On the beach.
Yes.
I thought when the mannequin challenge came out and like Ellen DeGeneres was doing it and this person, I thought, how stupid.
I know.
How doff. What a stupid thing. And then Camps Bay, like.
Probably jumped on board, eh?
But hit it out of the park that it not only makes South Africa go, like the world go, jeepers.
Yes.
Look how cool that stupid mannequin challenge looks now, but also look how cool Camps Bay looks.
I know. And it's just, it's frozen. It looks like something out of a, I don't know, like
a
movie or an 80s kind of vibe. Like everybody's just frozen in time. And obviously you've got the backdrop of Cape Town and the sea, and it's beautiful. It really, really is.
Just super, super, super cool. So that
and it
was,
came from here again.
But that's the thing, is that the story was sent to me. People were like,
yes,
hey, can you talk about this? And I was like, okay, let me look at it. And then I did. There was that got sent to me. There was the Mercedes-Benz mannequin challenge, which is so clever.
I haven't
so
seen it.
I'll show it to you after the show. I'm actually going to put it up online because
good,
it's so cool.
Yes,
and then
I'll
it was the drone footage of the whales.
Oh, my word.
Did you see that?
Yes. It's beautiful.
Right. So for all of you that are listening, scratching your heads, going, what
what
the
are you
F?
Talking about?
We're going to put that up online. You can follow me on Twitter, Brent Lindekew. We'll get CliffCentral.com to retweet it all. We're going to put it up there so you can see all of these cool things that are happening in our country. Why? Because it'll make you proudly South African and make you feel lekker.
And speaking about the humpback thing as well, a friend of mine.
The humpback thing.
The humpback story.
Is that what we're calling it now?
The humpback thing. So a friend of mine lives in Cape Town, and she's got a little boy and stuff, and she was having a bit of a tough day yesterday. So she decided to take the dogs and her son to the beach. And, you know, she saw the whales. And after that, she put up a post and she said, we actually need to be so grateful for our lives, the people in our lives. And, you know, she just reveled in this moment of nature and, you know, our surroundings as South Africans as well. And it's really, really incredibly, incredibly beautiful. And we've got to be so not only proud, but like blessed. We really are.
Yeah. How cool.
Where else in the world? Where? No.
South Africa is just, I mean, again, and if it's the first time that you're tuning into the show, Kerry and I are like the greatest advocates for South Africa.
Yeah.
Kerry's taken it off now because she tried to fix her iPad with it, but she walks around with a little proudly South African badge, which we got from Brand SA,
yes,
that you literally walk around with because you're so proudly South
African. And then I've
got
another one in my car.
Because we are, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's one on the bag, there's one in the car, and my little one walks around with one too.
Yeah, teach your kids the way. Teach your kids the way.
Yeah.
All right, so every week we search the interwebs for good news, inspirational stories, and all those good things that we can give you so you have a better conversation at your dining room or when you're at the water cooler. All of those good things. So we bring you the good news. There are thousands of stories being shared. Thousands of good news
stories.
Well,
we know that because it crashed your site.
Just like yes. that. Just mm-hmm. like that. But we search, and every week we bring you the top five. It's Kerry's job to do that. What do we have, dear madam, at number five?
Milestone achievement for South Africa and Khayelitsha Animal Hospital. South Africa Mass Animal Sterilization Trust has treated over 12,000 animals for free in a new campaign targeting pets in informal settlements. You know what? It's so important. And when I was reading this story, I actually went through something personally last week as well, where we couldn't find a 24-hour vet. And when we did, they were so expensive. And it made me realize that there are places and institutions that offer services like this to people that cannot afford it. And they give you exactly the same service. So the South African Mass Animal Sterilization Trust is gearing up to celebrate the completion of the first phase of their intensive sterilization campaign. I mean, they went through Khayelitsha and they do. I mean, obviously, it's not only there, it's all over the place. But 12,000 patients collected, sterilized, vaccinated, treated for parasites, and returned to their homes, whether a shack or an RDB house, for free.
So, I mean, I'm a little bit speechless because communities that need it most, yes. They're helping for free.
Yes, they really are. For free.
You know?
So if you, I mean, and it is, I mean, these people are dedicating their lives and to the animals and the communities and the people. And it's so important.
Yeah, geez. We're going to put that up online so that you can see this amazing institution, these guys that are working tirelessly to help our informal settlements, to help the animals in there, and just to make a better life. You know,
to educate them as well.
Well, that's what it's about. Mm. We would never want a situation where we're living in a country where there's dogs and cats yes. that are just roaming everywhere. And
starving as well.
Correct. So these guys are sterilizing them, educating them, making sure that they're fit and healthy, and, you know...
Well done, guys.
Looking after man's best friend for free. Yes. Really cool. We're going to put that up online. What do we have at number four?
An update on dam levels. The integrated valve system is above 50% again. The good news is that the water released from the Sterkfontein Dam recently...
Sterkfontein
Dam recently has just reached the Vaal Dam with good rains. The catchment increased from 26.5% to 31.5%. So it has improved and is above 50% again. And again, this does not mean that you can waste water. We still have to be water wise. Okay. And obviously, I heard that we're going to be having another heat wave this week, which makes it more important to save.
I mean, Kerry, you bring us the good news, and I love the way there's a terms and conditions there.
Yes.
It's really good news. The Vaal Dam is busy raising, and the water levels are getting a lot better, but do not water your flipping garden.
No, not during the day.
Not yet, anyway.
Yes.
So, thanks for that, Kerry. It's good news. And also, thanks
for... just an update.
It's like you're our weather girl as well.
Thanks. We're going to be having a heat wave this week.
I think in the studio we should get a green screen.
Yes.
And do like a little weather what.
Hi and welcome to the good stuff. And the weather for today on the eastern parts of South Africa.
Oh God, I'm going to stop her now. I'm going to put that story up online so that you can see all of the dams.
Yes.
It lists 30 different dams and their levels, and you can have a better idea. Let's go to number three, Kerry.
Meet Sipho, a determined dreamer who is creating his own second chances. Dumped by his mother on the doorstep of a father who didn't want him, this South African is determined to be the best he can be, no matter his circumstance. Now, this is quite an interesting story because we've spoken about I Have a Name, which is an incredible photo series showcasing everyday South Africans in the most phenomenal way. So basically, they just people that are not in touch with what's going on the streets. I mean, this is direct portal to that. So Sipho's got quite an interesting story. I mean, he was brought up in an orphanage and then sent to a very affluent school. And I think you should all go and read the story because even though he had a great start to life, obviously things were internalized for him. And the story's quite long. I'm not going to read it, but you can go and read it on Good Things Guy.
We're gonna put it up on cliffcentral.com in our top five good news section so that you guys can see these stories,
exactly,
interact with them, read them, get to know them. It's a flippin' cool story about a guy. I mean, you've said it. He had a terrible start, and then it all turned around, and then it went back, and he's now getting back on his feet.
Exactly.
So it's a cool story. We're going to put that up online. What was that? Number three? What do we have at number two?
Customer leaves Irish waiter $750 tip to fly his family home for Christmas. An Irish waiter working in an American restaurant got an early Christmas gift when a customer tipped him $750 to bring his new family home for the holidays. So 22-year-old Ben Miller works in a restaurant in Houston, Texas. He has been planning on a trip home to Ireland once his son is born and had been sharing his story with a customer. The customer informed Ben that he had just been in Ireland. Ben jokingly said, "Wow, I wish I could get back there for a weekend, visit my family," and thinking nothing of it. Then he was tipped $750 to get home.
So
to bring them over.
That's a really cool story that someone gave a really big tip.
And that's the thing as well. I mean, it's a season of giving. So if you can and you have the opportunity, help someone that's less fortunate. Help someone that's underprivileged. Help someone that doesn't have what you have. Don't take things for granted.
It's a random act of kindness,
yes,
and
exactly,
such great things. I don't know if you've seen since yesterday. I digress. But that's happening internationally. Really cool story about
and
the
tips. Here.
Well, not here.
Okay.
It's a different story that I'm going to tell you.
And me, go.
Okay, now we've all got stories. So I don't know if you saw the couple in Cape Town who went and had drinks at Fat Cactus and rang up a 1,300 rand bill.
And then they ran away.
But they were caught on CCTV on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love Fat Cactus. That's one of my first stops when I get into Cape Town. Their jalapeno poppers are to die for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're amazing.
Mm.
And this couple... you know, take a chance in 2016. There are cameras everywhere.
I think
so
it's shocking.
Well done. Well done. Well done.
Shocking.
Well done on doing well. The good news here, they know exactly who they are.
Oh, my actual word.
Because the video went viral and it was like on News 24.
And it was shared in like 50,000 times.
And now the update is that they've been named and shamed.
You know what, guys? That's shocking. It's just don't do that.
Okay, but the good news is that they were found.
No, 100%.
What was your story about a waiter?
So, yes, it wasn't a waiter, actually. There was a lady at a petrol station yesterday. And I'll send the story to you. I think it's quite phenomenal. There was a lady that filled up her petrol tank and her card had expired, her bank card. And another lady saw that, this was happening. And she paid for this lady's petrol, obviously without the... expectation of getting her money back for paying for her petrol, but her card had expired, so it was quite circumstantial. Anyway, by the close of business yesterday afternoon, that lady had EFT'd her money back, and they both decided together that they would pay it forward. So the one paid it forward, the other one paid it back, and now they're going to pay it forward together.
That's amazing.
I know.
Can we write that so we can put it out there? That's really cool. Okay, so we've given you a million stories now. We're going to get to number one. What was the top story of today?
New campaign spreads pure joy and milk moustaches around South Africa. From North Riding to Pretoria and many stops in between, Consol Glass has been spreading milk moustaches smiles while handing out milk moustache smiles.
I was actually laughing because I love that milk moustaches.
Yeah, milk moustache smiles, #, while handing out a special Consol bottles filled with farm fresh milk to 12 Gauteng charities. So I think this is really, really amazing. Bring back pure CSI milk bottle campaign. And what's cool about this is that I actually work across from the Consol factory in Germiston. So I look at the building all day. And when I see things like this, I think it's so incredibly amazing because their factory runs 24 hours a day and they still find time. And sometimes when I come in and out of the office, these big trucks leaving with these milk bottles, I think it's so incredible. And the fact that they're giving back.
Yeah, it's double whammy. Good news, right?
And where I live as well, we've still got the little hatch
for
milk and orange juice.
For real?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, many, many years ago, for those millennials that are listening, even our producer that's sitting in the lounge, she would have no idea. But many, many years ago, we used to have our milk and bread delivered to our door
and
every
orange
morning.
Juice.
Every morning.
Mm.
It was like a morning thing.
And then you had to leave the little cap there so that they could replace it. So that was your, that was, that, that's how they knew. You left a little token inside the box and they came around and they gave you milk.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yes. Yeah, so well done to console. That's really amazing.
So I've just got a message.
Yes.
And we can add this into our good news. Deryn Campbell, she's been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember her?
From?
Proudly South African.
Yes, she yes, did, I do.
She
I
does,
do.
She does the book.
Yes.
Proudly South African. Yes. So she's just sent us a message going, listening to you at the moment and loving Kerry and you chatting about being passionately South African. If you want, I can give you 2 books for each show. No, we don't want to give giveaways. Maybe we do. Your listeners need just send their details. All right, so we're going to get...
That's fantastic.
We're going to get Deryn. We're going to get on the line. Let's try get on the line during the break so we can chat to her. She wants to, you know, give free stuff away to people for Christmas, which is really,
that's
really cool.
That's amazing.
Just cool stuff. Good stuff all the time.
You see, yeah, and everybody's getting involved. Loving it, loving it.
This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. Welcome back to the good stuff, Cliff Central's very own happy hour. If you've just tuned in, this is literally all about good news and inspiration. Kerry's taking photos. She's doing all things behind the scenes. It's a little bit crazy. Right. So every week we get to interview incredible South Africans that are doing amazing things. Just really incredible stories. I met people while I was in London and they were asking about what I do and how I do it. And the conversation that I must be the luckiest person alive because I get to meet just incredible South Africans. This morning is no different. I'm going to give you a bit of a brief around our guy that we have in studio with us. It is a bit deep, and it's something that that we're going to get into, but I think it's important, and we're meeting with a really inspirational South African. So Rusty Labuschagne was wrongfully jailed for 10 years in appalling conditions in a Zimbabwe jail. He's now free, without a trace of bitterness, and he advocates forgiveness and positivity. He calls it the Rusty story. His story is the Rusty story. And I actually pulled a quote that you had written that I just want to mention before I even introduce you. But this is how it goes. Year after tiresome year, I lay in a concrete cell, enveloped by cold walls with colder hearts, looking up at the reinforced cement ceiling, never knowing if I was ever going to get out of there, thinking time and again, if they can put me in here for nothing, they can keep me in here for as long as they want. It's cold. I have shivers. It's goosebumps. Rusty, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brent.
It's great to have you here. I mean, you were supposed to be in studio last week and then I traveled and it was all sort of crazy. So it's great to have you in the chair. To kick off, what the hell happened? You got jailed wrongfully. What was that all about?
Brent, I had a fishing camp on Lake Kariba, and I had some disputes with a fishing cooperative that was closely based to my fishing resort there. And I was on a fishing trip with a bunch of mates, and a friend and I decided to go tiger fishing on the lake, and on our way back, we noticed 2 fish poachers in a steel boat, who immediately upon seeing us started paddling hastily for the shore. Knowing they were known poachers, I drove my boat towards them to scare them off, and the wake of my boat tilted their boat, causing them both to jump out into the water, which was about 1.5 meters deep. Then my friend and I watched as they ran away into the bush, and then the following day, the police arrived and we were accused of drowning one of the poachers. To cut a long story short, I was framed by the poacher, the police, and the courts, and sentenced to spend 15 years in a Zimbabwean prison, of which 5 were suspended.
That's heartbreaking, and it's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Are you originally from Zimbabwe?
Yes, I'm 4th generation Zimbabwean from a cattle ranching background, and I still live in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe today. That I travel around South Africa talking.
That experience and the next day when the police arrived, you weren't suspecting that they were going to be there for anything. Take us back to that moment. What was it like to suddenly have this thing in front of you that you had never planned?
Brent, when they arrived, first of all, they said that they'd come to collect a body. So we said, what body? They said, no, you've been reported for drowning somebody. So they explained that the circumstances. We went to the where we chased the poachers. They explained everything. And then they started saying they'd found blood on a tree that was sticking out of the water, and that I'd beaten him with a paddle. So, first of all, my friend and I said to the police, the first thing is nobody has ever mentioned anything about that up to now. This is all brand new to us. So, and then I thought, well, maybe they put blood on a tree with a fish or something. So I said, the police, because then it started getting confrontational because I was protecting myself. Mm. And they said, the police said, well, let's go and have a look at the blood on a tree. So there were about 19 of us, I think, two boats. We all got in the boats and went out. And they said, I asked which tree it was, and they pointed out which tree. And my co-accused, the guy who was in the boat with me, he looked at the tree and he said, there's nothing. So I went to the tree and I looked, and I said to the police, there's nothing. Then I asked the guy, are you sure this is the tree? He said, there was blood on that tree this morning. So then the police started laughing, and they said, no, we'll report to our superiors. Let's go back to camp. So we went back to my fishing resort, and I said, where do we go from here? You know, you guys never wrote anything down. There was nothing, there was no evidence.
Where was the evidence?
There was no evidence, and it was all informal.
Sure.
And I said, where do we go from here? And they asked, when are you leaving? So I said, we're leaving in 3 days' time. So they said, when you leave, just call around at the police station, and we'll let you know where we go from there. And in the meantime, we'll report to our superiors. And they took the other guy with them, the guy that reported that we drowned his friend. When we left on the Friday, which is 3 days later, when I walked in, I remember there's an intercom there. And I just remember the voice of the officer commanding shouting, have you arrested those two white men yet? This is clearly a murder case. And my stomach jumped up into my chest. Mm. And they threw us in a 2-meter by 2-meter corrugated iron hut in the middle of Bingo, which is extremely hot in the sun. We stayed there. The blankets were hard from urine and vomit. It was just disgusting. And the mosquitoes were hectic. We were there for 2 days. Then we moved to Bingo holding cells. Cut a long story short, 8 days later we got bail pending trial. It went to court just 19 months later. No evidence whatsoever. I had my divorce went through. Well, I had a court hearing 1 month before the trial, and the judge passed a judgment against me in my divorce, saying I wasn't holding confidence in the court and so forth. When we got into the trial, it was the same judge.
Mm.
And he was the ex-Bingo magistrate, which is the area that it took place in. So everything was structured against me. The court case went through, and there's no evidence, nothing.
Do you, I mean, in a situation like that where there's no evidence and all of this is going on, is that because it's a third world country? Is that what it comes down to? Would it have been different if this was the UK or America?
Brent, you've got to remember, at the time, December 2000, when this incident took place, it was right in the middle of the land invasions. Their lawlessness was everywhere. I mean, they were stealing cattle, renting houses and not paying rent, thinking that they're above the law.
Zimbabweans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole of the country was just a mess at that time. And the fishing cooperative guys who planned this whole thing, had told me before that they want my fishing resort. And I told them what I thought. And that's where it all started. And then when the lawlessness started...
It's a conspiracy.
That's exactly what it was.
So, I mean, before we get into the fishing resort and what happened, you then got imprisoned with this 15-year sentence.
I got 15 years and 5 suspended.
Sure.
And at the time, I mean, you're going into an African prison.
Yeah.
You have this lawlessness. Zimbabwe is at this really crazy time in history that we'll look back. And you're going into prison, not actually knowing if you're ever going to come out.
Exactly.
What is that like?
Well, Brent, my first day in prison, when you go into a prison there, the first thing is you strip naked and you walk in stark naked. There were 1,000 black guys. I was the only white guy.
Sure.
And you go into a prison like that, the humiliation and intimidation is hectic. They make you crouch down in front of the officers, and they question you naked in front of 1,000 guys about your family, your business, your crime, where you came from, everything.
Sure.
And then they issued me a standard white short sleeve shirt and a pair of drawstring white shorts. That was the only set of clothing you allowed at any one time for 8 years.
Sure.
No underwear was allowed. Then they took me up to my cell. It's 13 meters long by 3 meters wide. We were 78 guys in there. Everyone had 33 centimeters of space marked out on the walls in chalk. You were packed like sardines with legs all crossing over in the middle. And you all faced the same direction. When you turned over, you all turned over together. And lying on your back wasn't only impossible, it wasn't allowed. And as cushioning against the cold concrete floor, you'd fold two of your paper-thin, worn-out, lice-ridden blankets several times to fit your space, then covered yourself with a third one. Then your clothes were wrapped around your toothbrush and toothpaste, or they'd get stolen, and that was your pillow. My hips had bruised black rings for years, and shoulders still give trouble today.
Some of the people that were in the prison with you, I mean, just so that I can give our listeners an idea,
yeah.
What sort of crimes had they committed, people that you were sleeping next to?
Brent, I slept next to serial killers, hardcore armed robbers, ruthless rapists, and innocent good men. There were many good men in there. You never judged anyone by his crime. You judged everyone on face value, and I made many mistakes and got into some real rough times in there, but there were many good men in there that helped me continuously, keeping me strong, positive, and as happy as possible for prison.
What happened with your co-accused? So you guys have been accused together. You'd been stuck in that little corrugated room for a while. You'd now been put in prison. What happened to him?
Ironically, he got a $10 fine and was set free because he was not driving the boat. That was exactly what happened.
Jeez, it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot to take in. The whole story is just...
It all turned political against me, Brent, and... That's just something that when you're innocent, Brent, and you're put in a situation like that, a whole lot of things come to you. You question, am I different? Have I been put here for a reason? Maybe to make a difference one day? Am I being protected? Because I had several businesses running. I used to fly my own aircraft. I was very successful. And maybe they were after something that I had or whatever, and it's better to kill me, better to put me in prison than kill me. So I just figured... That maybe that's...
That was your reasoning while you were there. What happened to the fishing resort? So while you were imprisoned, where is that?
That's right in the middle of Lake Kariba, between the wall and the tail end of the lake, Binga. And it's an incredible place, beautiful fishing.
Do you still own it?
I actually gave it away, Brent. I just wanted everything that was in my past to be put behind me. And... It's hard. Forgiveness is a huge thing.
Mm.
And for 2 years, Brent, I hated them bitterly. The bitterness, hate for revenge, everything was just eating me up. And when I finally forgave them for what they were doing and had done to me, it changed my whole life in prison.
Mm.
And from then on, I only looked forward, Brent. I didn't look behind me. And I took that with me. And it's part of that positiveness that I carry now, that everything, I don't give them 1 second of my time anymore.
When you say them, are you referring to the police or to Zimbabweans?
All
or
of what? Them. All of those people involved in putting me in that where I went.
Yeah.
So that's the poacher, the police, the judge, the ministry. You know, I was granted bail by the courts, bail pending appeal, and it was overturned by the government.
Sure.
There's no control of anything. So everybody that put me through everything, Brent, I've let it go. I don't give them 1 second of my thoughts anymore. And I know what Mandela meant by forgiveness. When you have to go through that and experience it to feel that. Mm-hmm. And I honestly have zero resentment, nothing.
Well, I can see that now. You're sitting in front of me today smiling and
bright.
You know, when I read about your story before you came into studio, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And on the other side of that, a couple of weeks ago, I got to go to Paul's Moore prison with Carolyn Stain. And I was shit scared going into prison. I had never thought that I'd be in that position, and it's not me being a prisoner, but as even a visitor to a, never in my life. And you know, you have this expectation of what people are like inside these institutions, and my reality was very, very far from my expectation. When I walked out of prison on that Friday, and I was only there for 2 hours maximum, when I walked out, I realized that I can learn a lot about myself and remind myself that every single person on this planet is human.
Yes.
And we all have this connection, which is humanness. And the people that I met at that prison are just humans. For whatever the reason is, I mean, you were talking about the people you were lying next to, were either serial killers or murderers or innocent or had all these different things. And when you were all at base level on concrete, you were all exactly the same. There is no difference.
Exactly.
And when I was in that prison for that short time, I realized that You don't know what this life is going to bring.
Yeah.
And you cannot plan for absolutely everything. And that is exactly your story, is that you could have never planned for what you went through.
Never.
To quote you, you said, "But from the bowels of despair, come this realization that just as my mind had helped drag me through these depths this far, so could it pull me out of them as well." You had this situation where you'd been living in this for 10 years. You could have resentment. You could carry that around. You have the right to.
Yeah.
You literally have the right to.
Yeah.
Moments like these can either make you or break you, and you've chosen a different path. You've chosen to inspire, motivate, tell your story. What are you doing now?
I'm writing a book, Brent. So that's with the editors right now. I just figured that if I can't find justice in the system we have, then I'm going to tell my story.
Sure.
And I'm writing a book. I've been talking now in South Africa, Zambia, and Botswana, and it's just growing and growing. I'm represented by Unique Speaker Bureau now.
I'd love to read your book.
Yeah. And there's a showcase this weekend, and it's growing and growing and getting bigger and bigger. And some of the things that I would like to point out, Paul, is the lessons I learned. I mean, Brent, the lessons I learned from prison. Mm. And like I said, forgiveness is the biggest one.
Well, that would have been my next question, is okay. How do you come out the other side okay? Brent, how do you not let it affect you? How do you sit here in front of me today, smiling, taking on this role of telling your story?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going back every time you're in studio or on stage.
Yeah.
It's going back to that place that was pretty damn awful.
Yeah, but it's therapeutic for me, Brent. Every time I do a talk, it helps me. And getting back to what you said, how do you forgive?
Hmm.
When you've got nothing interfering around you in prison, affecting your feelings and stuff, your thoughts hurt you. So when I thought about my friends having, you know, every year I travel to Vegas and to the shows and stuff, or what my fiance was up to with some of that guy, it hurt.
Mm.
You know, so you counsel yourself on what you think. And those, you eventually end up with only positive thoughts because the negative stuff hurts you.
Mm.
So that's how you stay positive. And by forgiving, it was like a switch. I don't know how to explain it. People have said, what made you? How did it happen? I don't know how it happened. It was just one day I thought, just let God take care of
it. Like, I'm done.
Yeah. I was desperate. I was beating myself up every day. And I just thought, let the Lord take care of all of that. Let me get on with the path that's been put in front of me.
Is there not a saying that goes, let go and let God?
Yes.
That's it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the change for me, Brent. It wasn't like a big religious thing. It was a faith thing.
Mm.
And I've always believed that he's looked after me. There's other incidences as well.
Yes.
And there were a lot of incidences in prison where I had to pray. And it worked.
Mm.
I felt it. And some of it was just too coincidental to be coincidence. It was hectic. And he still looks after me today. I mean, my path right now is being guided. And it's looking fantastic for me. And I know I'm being guided.
Mm.
I am. And my goals are huge. I'm not stopping, Brent. I'm I'm traveling all over the world. I want to spread the story. It's hectic. You know, Brent, I witnessed over 2,200 guys die in my first 6 years in prison. That's a lot of people.
That is a huge amount of people.
And the conditions, Brent, you know, we had only one set of clothing and no basins or taps in the cells. So we had to wash our clothes in the cell toilets at night wearing a blanket, then hang them on the walls of smuggled book staples to dry by the next morning. The things like that, they test your humanity, your everything. I mean, the humiliation was beyond comprehension.
Living to survive.
Exactly. And then some of the other lessons on the resilience side. You know, you say, how do you explain resilience? You can't. Mm-hmm. Resilience is something that you have, whether you call it bravery or smart, integrity, whatever it is. But it's a mixture of forgiveness and a positive mental attitude that makes you get through all that. And if you don't learn to forgive and let go of the past, you will never move forward.
Mm.
Never. Only when you forgive and let go will you truly bounce back from anything.
And again, you're testament to that. So what you're saying is not, it's not textbook. You're not going, hey, this is what I read. And if you try and make it happen, it might. You are testament to the truth that is how it works.
Yeah.
Positive mindset. I mean, you've got a list there that we're going to conclude with today.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting from it is you got to be stronger than this thing in your head.
Yes.
You got to overcome all of that, let go.
Circumstance.
So you can move on.
You know, Brent, when you talk like that, you figure things out in prison, what to think about and what works and what doesn't work. And to find, you know, to be able to find positives in all the negatives going on around you brought hope.
Mm.
And finding happiness in even the smallest things in prison kept you healthy. Those that didn't died. And it was so obvious. Guys would come in, be stressed and everything, and I'd say to the guys, he's not going to make it. And within 3 weeks, he is gone. Yeah. It just worked over and over.
Before we get into those points, I need to ask, coming out of prison, so you've been there for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's a decade. It's a long time. You've created a new daily routine. You've got different habits. There's this life that you're living that that is different to what it would be in what would be called the outside world.
Sure.
Yes.
So first day out of prison, you're coming out. Was that overwhelming?
It was. It really was. And the biggest changes for me, Brent, weren't the trees and streets and houses. It was the people.
Yes, the people.
You know, when I was 10 years is a long time. Go back 10 years in your life. Where were you 10 years ago?
I was a different human being.
Me too.
And how much have you accomplished in those 10 years, Brent? So that's how much I lost. So when you go back, when you come out of prison and you see all those people and go back to where they were when you went in, they weren't married, they didn't have kids. You come out, they're family men, the kids are running around.
Completely different
people. The whole life is different. All my friends now weren't old men, but they were... They'd moved on so much removed from where we were before. Mm. So life in that respect was so different. And also, I was a national rugby player, so I was very well known. I had a big business. But when I went to prison, it was national and international news headlines. So you come out of prison and everyone is looking at you, mostly out of admiration, because a lot of people understood the circumstances that I was innocent and everything, but it was uncomfortable for a long time. You know, sit down at a restaurant and you look around and every table is looking at you and you know that they're talking about you.
It's just mad. Mad to think that way.
But that was about 9 months that took to go away. And now, you know, with the talking and that, and they, you know, Brent, when you go in there and you're flying high, you know, flying your own aircraft, money was no issue, your confidence is sky high, and you get in there, they crush you. They break your spirit, your confidence, everything. And to pick it up again when you come out is tough.
We're going to stop you there because if people want to hear more about this, they need to get in touch with you.
Okay.
We're going to leave it there. If you can just give us the points. Every week I end off on a high note of just positivity and things that people can do right now. I mean, you've had 10 years to formulate this. So give us a couple of points just for today.
Okay. Well, forgiveness, positive mental attitude, resilience, managing rejection. Managing rejection was a big thing. People battle with that, and it's a huge thing in prison.
Mm.
humility. You know, when you're watching people die every day and you lie in a cell with 78 other guys and not even your breath is your own, suddenly you become grateful for even this, for every little thing in your life.
Mm.
And then gratitude. People are not grateful for what they have. You know, so that's a big message for me. Just say thank you every day for what you have instead of wanting, wanting, wanting.
Mm.
That'll be good.
Absolutely phenomenal. If people want to follow your story and get in touch, where do they go?
Please get hold of me on Unique Speaker Bureau, either Paul or Simone, and I have a great story.
Or you can thank follow you. The Rusty story. We're going to put all of that online. That is all we have for this week. That is the good stuff on Cliff Central. I really do hope you have an incredible Tuesday. CliffCentral.com